the offering. And before I send the kids off, because I want the kids to see this this morning, I'm going to kind of redo the introduction to my sermon. I need a volunteer who was not here last Sunday, and not you, you're in the sound booth. I need a volunteer who is not here last Sunday, who is game. All right, come on up here, Haley. Come on, you're perfect. Just what I was looking for. Okay. We're doing a sermon series called First Things First. Come on over here. And I want you to stand right behind this table right here. Are you real nervous? Are you nervous? All right, good. I want you to be nervous. Well, I think we can do this without Mike. Okay, first of all, can you tell me what this is right here?
Jar.
It's a jar. She said it's a jar. Do y'all concur? Jar. Yep. This is actually a wide mouth jar. It has nothing to do with the preacher. Just keep that in mind. It's a wide mouth jar. I want you to take those rocks that you see right there and see how many of those you can get into the jar. Okay? Can you do that? Do you do stuff like this in school? No. All right. So we have one rock, two rocks, three rocks. Is this hard to do? Pretty good. We have about seven rocks in there. Can you get one more? Good. That's good. Now, would you say that jar is full? What if I told you it wasn't? Guess what I have? I have more rocks. Inside, we have these little rocks right here. Well, go ahead and see how many of these little rocks you can get in there. This isn't too much to ask, is it? Because you're doing a great job. All right, we're going to see how many little rocks you can get in there. Let me help you out here. Good job. Nuts. You know what? I forgot something. Okay, Jordan, can you do something for me? Go get a pitcher of water. I forgot my water. So y'all know where this is going. Okay, so this isn't full, is it? Or is it? You want to say that's full?
No.
No, you're right. It's not full. All right. This is, what's this?
Sand.
You got it. She says it's sand, and it is. You want to help me and see how much sand we can get in there? Oh, I wasn't going to have you use your hands, but... Yeah, I see she likes to play in the dirt, doesn't she? She does this very well. There we go. That's a dandelion. That's from my sandbox at home. Keep going. Keep going. Oh, yeah, you're on. Oh, no, that's good. That's good. Hold on. All right. Thanks, Jordan. You're a good man. All right. Let's see how we're doing. Would you say that's full?
Yeah.
You say that's full? Good answer, because you know what Jordan brought me. Jordan brought me a water. You want to taste it? No, I wouldn't either. Okay. You go ahead and pour it in real slow, but we're going to see if we can get all the water in. Just go real slow, let it seep in there. We'll see how much water we can get in there. Doing fantastic. A little bit more. That really holds a lot of water, doesn't it? Put just a little bit more and we'll call it good. All right, that's good. Thank you. Now, I have one question here before I let you go. This is the hard one. What do you think we can learn from this little experiment? Anything that you would learn besides the preacher's crazy?
That you can always put more in.
That you can always put more in. That is a very interesting answer because you're not the first person to say that. Okay. Actually, here's what we can learn. If you don't put the big rocks in first, they don't get in at all. All right. Thank you. Give Haley a big hand. Thanks. And that's the lesson that I want us all to remember as we go through this series. If you don't put the big rocks in first, they don't get in the jar at all. All right. Kids on kids. Preschool on up to fourth grade. Go ahead and make your way back up top. Hey, can you guys bring me down in the... Hey, Josh, can you bring down my mic just a little bit? It's echoey up here. I don't like to hear myself once. That's good. All right, now the kids have taken off. The principle is really simple. It's really basic. You know, I actually got it from Stephen Covey. You know, he has a book called First Things First, and he told about this experiment that he was able to see. Well, what was so interesting is that one of the ladies that saw the demonstration, the first thing that she said is just what Haley said: you can always get more in. And that's really our initial response is, well, I can just cram so much in. But the point is, you have to put those big honking rocks in first. Otherwise, it's going to be hopeless to try to cram those in. Got to put in the big rocks first. So what we learn about that from our lives, or what we can take, or what's the crossover to our lives, is this. First of all, that person that you looked in the mirror this morning, you know, when you came here, you are a combination, or you are a result of all the big rocks that you put into your jar. Every big rock that you're putting into your jar, that's you. That's who you are right now. Okay? So the decisions that you make about what goes into the jar first is who you are right now. And if you're going to make any changes in your life, whether it's doing the New Year's resolutions or whether it's just becoming a better follower of Christ, you got to rearrange your rocks. If you want to make changes and make steps towards change, you got to put different rocks in first and make sure the most important rocks get in. The other thing that we learn from this is you can't do everything. And I know that's a bummer, because I want to do everything, but you can't possibly do everything in the world. There's a lot of things that we can do, a lot of things we'd love to do, but what we learn from this illustration and from really successful people, especially Jesus, who I would deem to be very successful, is that he only did about five things. He focused on five rocks, and he threw all of his energy, all of his ministry, his passion, everything he threw into those five rocks, and that typified his life. That was his life. The focused people on the four or five rocks are the ones that end up being the most successful. So here's something I want you to just think about just for a moment. What are your five rocks that you focus on the absolute most right now? Go ahead and think about that. What are your five most important rocks that always go into your jar every day? What are those five rocks? Now, in the weeks to come, we're going to talk about how to rearrange some of those rocks, how to take out some of those rocks. But what are the five that go into your jar every day? Because you can't do everything. And just because someone else does it doesn't mean you should do it. So a lot of things that we got to think about when it comes to what rocks go in first. All right. Okay, so that's what we're talking about. Now, I wasn't the smart person that came up with this. Obviously, Stephen Covey came up with it. But even Stephen Covey didn't come up with this first things first by himself. Jesus actually is the one who came up with it. It was his idea. And this is kind of the theme verse that we're using for this whole series. And it's a verse I'd love for you to commit to memory. Jesus understands the principle of first things first. When he said this in Matthew 6:33, and that's this. He says, "Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these other things will be given to you as well. So what Jesus is talking about is that if the most important thing you can do is put first, the rock you should put first into your jar is the kingdom of God rock. What in the world is he talking about? What's a kingdom of God? When I was a kid, I always thought the kingdom of God was talking about heaven. Maybe you were like that too. Or maybe you thought the kingdom of God was the church. Trust me, the kingdom of God is bigger than heaven, is bigger than what we can get our minds around when it comes to the church. The kingdom of God is huge, it's massive. The kingdom of God are those people who believe in God and believe in His Son, Jesus Christ. Those people are a part of the kingdom of God. And so it's just not limited to the church. It's everywhere where people believe in God and follow Him and pursue Him and follow Jesus Christ. And so when you're a part of the kingdom of God, you represent the kingdom of God. One of the things I've been telling my son Alex, now that I just started doing this probably the last few months, because he's had a ton of birthday parties. And so every time I take Alex to go to one of these parties recently, I've just been saying, "Alex, just remember, you represent the Steele family. You represent us." And so the idea behind that is, you're just not off having a good time, even though I want him to have a good time, but everything that he does and he says is a representation of me as a parent, Susie as a parent, our name, about who we are. And so you're going out into the world and you're representing us. The same thing is true of those of us who believe in God. We represent the kingdom because we are part of the kingdom. Now, the kingdom doesn't have walls, all right, but it does have principles and purposes. And so what God wants us to do is to seek first the kingdom. He wants us to honor the principles of the kingdom. What are those? Well, the principles of the kingdom are things like grace and forgiveness, of truth, of telling other people about Jesus Christ, about serving those around us. So as we go out into the world, if we seek first the kingdom, that means we are representing the kingdom by carrying out the purpose of the kingdom. We want everyone to know about God and about what Jesus has done. We are representing. It also means that we just don't carry out the purposes, but we live out the character. So we live as a righteous people. We don't live like the kingdom of this world. We don't pursue evil desires, sinful desires. We want to pursue righteous behavior. We want to live as citizens of the kingdom. We want to represent our Heavenly Father. So when Jesus says, seek first the kingdom, that's what he's talking about. Represent the kingdom. Wherever you are, whatever you do, do that first. That's the most important thing. But here's the coolest part about what Jesus says in Matthew 6:33. He says, if you put the kingdom rock in first and say, I'm going to represent and do that with all of my heart and being, he says that he, the Heavenly Father, will take care of the rest of the details, that he will provide for your needs. All the other worries, all the other cares that you have will either disappear because they weren't that important, or he will provide them for you. That's the promise from Jesus. And so as we go into this series and as you go into the new year, I want you to take that message to heart, that the first thing that you need to put into your jar every day is the kingdom rock, to seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. So what we're going to do today and then for the next 3 weeks is we're going to take one of the parables that Jesus told to help us rearrange our rocks so that you for sure can make sure and get that kingdom rock in first every time. So today we're going to talk about a parable called the parable of the sower, and next week we're going to talk about last week I kind of messed up. I told you the parable of the pearl is going to be today. It's actually going to be next week. So today's parable of the sower, next week parable of the pearl, and a couple of the parables in the weeks to come. So if you have your Bibles, turn to Matthew chapter 13. We're going to hang out here this morning and study the parable of the sower. Let me give you a little background before we dive into the actual text. Jesus is about halfway through his ministry. He has done some incredible things. To this point, he has healed people. He's in fact raised a little girl from the dead. She was dead and he gave her life again. He has taught with authority. He has fulfilled scriptures from the Old Testament, and his people, the Jewish people, have listened. The problem is not everyone has believed. And so at this point in his ministry, Jesus kind of switches his approach, and he begins to teach with parables. It's kind of an interesting setup, because to this point, Jesus hasn't really used much for parables. And from this point on, he's going to use a ton of parables. In fact, here in Matthew 13, he begins to preach a sermon that's all parables. And this is the very first parable in that whole sermon. And so it's really important that we grasp this parable because it's going to help us understand a few things in the weeks to come. And so that's kind of the setting. He's alongside the Lake of Galilee near Capernaum, and he's teaching to this crowd. And as he's teaching this parable, what's cool that Jesus does oftentimes is he will be able to point to some of the things that he's talking about. So as Jesus is sitting here, he's probably more than likely able to point off in the distance and say, look, there's a field over there. Go look. See this guy? He's sowing his seed right now. So it's very hands-on. Jesus wants to communicate this principle to these folks. But the point I want you to get is that Jesus has become to get frustrated with folks because they haven't been getting it. A lot of people aren't getting Jesus. And one of the things that he's going to come back again and again in these parables is that he who has ears, let him hear. Jesus wants them not only just to hear this story, but he wants them to get the big idea, the big principle behind the parable that he's about to tell them. So this morning, as you listen to this parable, as you read it, as we study it, I want you to take the same approach. You have ears, right? Most of you. Listen to what this parable says to you, because every one of you here in this room is represented in this parable. Now, people call it the parable of the sower. More accurately, it's probably the parable of the soils, because we're talking about four soils. And in this room this morning, seated in these chairs, each of these four soils is represented. You are one of these soils. But as you listen to these soils and as you listen to this parable, what you're going to find out is the key to putting the big rock in first. All right, let's listen. If I can find my Bible. It's lost here. Matthew 13. Let's start with, let me just give you a, we're not going to read the whole thing, but Matthew 13 starts with the setting, and then he actually tells the parable. After he's done telling the parable, his disciples are like, hold on, Jesus, this is confusing. Like I said, he hasn't done this parable thing before. This is really new. He says, explain this to us. Explain what you're talking about. We didn't get it. So what we're going to look at this morning is we're going to look at Jesus explaining the parable. So skip over to verse 18, okay? And Jesus gives us the lowdown on what's going on with this parable. It says, verse 18, listen then to what the parable of the sower means. Verse 19, when anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is the seed sown along the path. Let's stop there for a sec. When they would plant fields back in first century Israel, what they would do is they would kind of clear out the area, get all the brush and everything, get it out of the way, and then they would just begin to throw, to kind of broadcast the wheat seed all over the field as much as they could get. They weren't so concerned, they were concerned about coverage. They wanted to cover as much of their field as possible. So they weren't particular on drilling down into certain areas, because what they'd do is they'd scatter it, and then they'd take kind of a disc or something and kind of turn over the dirt, and they'd plow it afterwards. And so he's out, he's scattering it and just throwing it everywhere that he can get on his property. And it happens that some of this seed just happens to come up onto the hard area, up onto the path. So Jesus refers to this soil, this path, as being incredibly difficult. So difficult that when they come over and try to turn the dirt over, that it can't even break up the dirt. It's that hard. And for those of you who live in Iowa and drive on some of the gravel roads, you know what kind of hard dirt I'm talking about. It's hard. You can't even begin to imagine any kind of little seed germinating and penetrating that hard surface. And what happens, according to Jesus, is the seed just sets on top of the surface, and as it sits there, it's fair game. And what happens? Well, in this case, it's snatched away. One of the authors, I can't remember, either Mark or Luke, says it's a bird comes and takes it away, snatches it away. The point here is, according to all the authors, is that it's either the evil one, it's the devil, or Satan comes and takes it away. Now, we can get caught up in thinking about Satan coming and snatching something away, but that's not the point that Jesus wants you to get here. The point is the soil is so hard, like cement, that it doesn't penetrate. The seed cannot even possibly penetrate. The point is the soil. It's not Satan. It's the soil. And every one of us here in this room at some point had a really hard heart towards God, where we heard His Word and like, you know, that's not for me. I don't want that. I'm not going to change how I've been doing things. My heart, just, it's not making sense. It's not connecting. Every one of us at some point had that attitude toward God. And maybe even this morning you hear this and you're like, ah, this is not for me. I'm not ready for it. That's the reality of some of the soils and some of the people that we run into contact with here in this world. Change doesn't happen overnight. Change doesn't happen for everyone because our hearts aren't ready to receive it. But here's the thing that's really important that you need to take away from this, is that soil all has the potential of being softened. You heard of things like jackhammers and plows. I mean, you can break it up. And the truth is, at some point, someone's heart that is very hard is going to have an opportunity to be softened. Now, it may be a tragedy in their life, a broken up relationship, some difficulty, financial struggles. Things happen in life that break up that hardness and prepare our hearts to receive the Word of God, the seed. And so one of the things that we learn here from what Jesus is teaching is that you and I, we need to be ready. If our hearts are ready, we need to be praying and be tuned in to the folks that are around us, that when we see the opportunity, that we're ready to encourage them, to plant the seed, to pray for them. That's another thing that's really important, is that we continue to pray for those people in our life that have a hard heart, that God would be working on their hearts, to softening up to receive the seed. Okay? The first soil is the hard heart, the hard surface that can't even receive the seed. All right, let's keep reading. Jesus goes on and says this in verse 20. The one who received the seed that fell on rocky places is the man who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. But since he has no root, he lasts only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, he quickly falls away. Jesus describes another type of soil that's kind of rocky. Those of you who work with gardens and who plant, you understand what happens when a little seed can't get its roots down, especially in the hot Israeli sunshine that's beaten down, all right? In the evening it's cool, that little seed can germinate, gets its little roots going, but if it can't connect with the nutrients and the water and moisture that's in the soil, it's going to burn up, it's going to be scorched, it's going to die. And that's exactly how Jesus describes this seed that's sown into this soil. It's rocky. It kind of gets started because it's kind of safe. But as things get going, it just has no foundation. It has no root system. And so it shrivels up and it dies. And what he's describing is those people who hear it and connect with the word right away and it makes sense. But then because, this is what's so interesting. He says it's the people that have received the word but are persecuted because of the word, that they fall away. That's so interesting. Because by changing your life, by accepting God, by accepting His kingdom principles, by putting the kingdom rock in first by doing that, you're going to face persecution. Because you're going to do things that are different from the kingdom of this world. You're going to begin to look at life differently. You're going to speak differently. You're going to act differently. You're going to approach your finances and things so much differently that you're going to get persecution. People are going to say, what are you doing? Why are you doing that? One of the things that's so interesting is for those of us who give to the church or to charities on a regular basis, when you go in and do your taxes, have you ever done this? Go into your taxes and your tax guy isn't a believer isn't a Christian or doesn't give at all. And he sees how much you give. He's like, what? That's a lot of money. You really give that much? He wants to double check. He wants to see the proof. People struggle with giving because of some of the influences they get from other folks around them that aren't Christians because they say, you give that much money? What are you nuts? What are you crazy? When you shift and begin to put this big rock in first, when you begin to accept God into your life, things are brought into question by those around you, your family members. And what Jesus is referring to is, it can be really easy to accept it because it makes sense. But you're going to be questioned, you're going to be challenged because of the changes that you're making in your life. And for some people, that's too much. And they fall away and they're gone. And that's the rocky soil. Let's go on and look at the next one. Verse 22. The one who received the seed that fell among the thorns is the man who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke it and make it unfruitful. Of all the soils, this is the one that's most prevalent right here this morning. This one is. Now, when you first hear that, there's kind of a misconception. You think that the sower is sowing all this seed and that he throws some seed among some weeds or some grass. But that's not true. Remember, the whole field had been cleared and leveled for planting. So all the thorns, everything had been burned off, had been dried. It was ready for planting. What he's referring to is, as he throws out this seed, some of the seed lands with, and for those of you who garden or are farm, and know what I'm talking about, it lands among some weed seed. Because everything looks good. Hey, I'm just throwing out my seed. But there, as some of you know, those weed seeds, they lay dormant, they hang around, and they're ready. They're ready to germinate, and they're ready to get after it, just like the little wheat seeds that are thrown out there. So what he's talking about is you throw these seeds out here, but they land among weed seeds. And so as the seed begins to germinate, so do the weed seeds and the thorn seeds, and begin to grow up next to this seed. Isn't that exactly true, though? We can receive God's word into our hearts, but we also know that there's other things hanging around our hearts as well. Isn't that truth? We have all these other, and he gives us two examples. We touched on these last week. One of them is worry. Think of all the things that you worry about. Worry about how you're going to pay bills, how you're going to take care of the kids, how you're going to deal with some difficult situations at work, how you're going to deal with people, how you're going to deal with family. There's all these things that we worry about. Then he also talks about the love of wealth and the things that bring us pleasure. So our hearts not only receive the word and it takes hold, but then all of a sudden there's all these other seeds that begin to germinate and begin to take over. And what Jesus is saying here is this heart, it's getting it. But all of a sudden there is competition in the heart. And let me tell you a truth. Anytime that there is competition in your heart between God and anything else, for some weird reason, God always loses out. It is true. If you have God in your heart, but then all of a sudden a competition comes in and begins to do battle, that little weed seed, God, for some reason, always seems to lose out. So what we need to learn from this and what Jesus is telling us here is that when it comes to making these changes and putting the important things in first, we need to guard our hearts. Not everything is good for our hearts. Just because we can afford it doesn't mean we should have it. Just because our friends have it doesn't mean we should have it. Just because it looks like it's a good thing doesn't mean that's a good thing for us. Maybe even more importantly, just because we can do it doesn't mean it's a good thing for the kingdom. Remember, we're putting kingdom things in first. So all of a sudden we have this filter system that we need to guard our hearts with. And we need to protect all the things that go into our heart. Because those seeds, they can take root. And they can overcome the kingdom thing that we've put in first. All right, let's take a look at the last seed. The very last one is this, verse 23. But the one who received the seed that fell on the good soil is the man who hears the word and understands it. He produces a crop yielding 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. So according to Jesus, the one that puts the kingdom rock in first, the one that gets it, is the one that hears the word and listens. Now, I'm a man. My wife's going to laugh because it's a joke we have. Not because I'm not a man. It's just, anyway, I'm going to get in trouble. It's because when it comes to listening and hearing, that's an issue for us as men. You all know what I'm talking about. I can be sitting and watching a great sporting event, and my wife will talk to me, and I can hear her. It kind of sounds like Charlie Brown's teacher. Wow, 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 wow. Now I hear it over there, okay? It's making decibels that are reaching my ear, but it's not hitting my brain, and it doesn't mean a whole lot. It's just, man, it's garbly stuff. That's called hearing, right? Now, she said something about taking out the trash. You know, I kind of heard that. But what is true listening? Listening is muting what you're watching, turning to your wife and looking at her, and you have full communication. You have, you know, the eye contact, the full, you're listening, you're engaged in the conversation. That is what is called listening. And what Jesus says is the one that's the most fruitful for the kingdom is the one that hears it and listens to it. Receives it, hears it, listens to it. And one of the things that as a kid I remember growing up, and maybe some of you think of this as well. I thought that when I became a Christian that it was just kind of cruise control and that the kingdom of God was heaven, okay? And I was just content to cruise along life and get to life and get to heaven. I mean, because, you know, when you become a believer, it's all set, everything's ready to go. But one of the things that I forgot is that my time here on earth is to be productive. Again, as I'm representing the kingdom, I'm supposed to be advancing the kingdom of God. That's my job. I'm not here to just be on cruise control because I have my retirement set up in heaven. My job is to partner with God, to advance the kingdom of God. And so it's my goal as a follower of Jesus Christ to be fruitful. That's why Jesus makes a really cool point. He says, if you put the kingdom thing first, if you hear, receive it, listen to it, understand it, then you will be fruitful. I'm like, that's what I want to be. I want to be fruitful for the kingdom. I don't want to just cruise on to heaven. I want to advance the kingdom. And he said, if you do this, you're not going to just double your crop or triple it. You could get up to 100-fold if you would just put the kingdom rock in first. That speaks to me. Because that's something I want to do. I want God to be pleased. I want the kingdom to expand. I want people to know the truth. And that's something that I want to do. But it starts when I listen. When I hear it, when I receive it, when I listen to the Word of God. So if you want to begin to put the first rock, the big rock in your life, being the kingdom rock, if you want to get that in first, one of the things that you're going to have to start doing is listening to the Word of God. Because when you listen to the Word of God, things begin to change. So this is what I need you to do. If you're sincere about this, about getting the kingdom rock in first, because everything changes when that goes in first, you need to start listening to the Word of God. Let me give you, I think four. We'll see how many have. I think it's four. Four ways that you can start listening to the Word of God. First thing is, the first thing is read your Bible. Okay? There's one thing I can tell any Christian is just read your Bible. Now, I know that's a great Sunday school answer, but it is a Sunday school answer because it's a good answer. It's a true answer, is to read your Bible. I want you to know God's Word. Grab your Bible and read it. Now, here's what I don't want you to do. I don't want you to get locked into some reading schedule that you're tied in and feel like you're a complete failure if you don't read your Bible. It's kind of like exercise. You miss one and then you quit doing it, right? Because you feel all guilty about it. Don't do that. I am incredibly content with you to pick up your Bible and read it for 5 minutes. And if you miss it for a couple days, that's cool. Pick it up the next day. Read another 5 minutes, 10 minutes. But the more you read God's Word, the more you're getting God's stuff into your head, the more it's starting to change your heart. I'll give you some more examples about that in a little bit. But read God's Word. Read it. And the great thing about the Bible is that you can take it with you. You can read it anywhere, anytime. It's with you. Read God's Word. Okay? Second thing you need to do is come to church. Now, I emphasize this a lot, is that your ability to get into heaven is not on God's scorecard about how many times you attended church, okay? When I see people out in public who haven't been to church for a while, they're like, oh, I'll see you Sunday. I'm like, no, don't. I'm not here to make you feel guilty. I'm not here to try to get you to come to church. I want you to come to church because you want to come to church because we're going to tell you about God and how to live out a practical life. So come to church because we do teaching. We tell you about God's Word. I do it, obviously. Every Sunday morning we have classes that are available for you. One's on Life of Christ. One's on Genesis right now. We have a college one that's been going for Acts. We have classes available so you can hear God's Word. The great thing about these classes is that you can talk about it. You get to know the people around you. It's a great environment to study God's Word. But again, you're getting God's Word into your heart. Another thing, a third thing that you can do is read books. Not just any books, but there are so many great Christian authors out there that articulate God's Word in practical ways. Read a good Christian book. Get it on your nightstand. Get it by your TV. Read, read, read. Get God's Word into your heart any possible way. Fourth way that you can do it is listen to sermons. Now, you're going to be surprised at this, but preachers, we need preachers. There's about three or four different people that I listen to during the week because I need to hear God's Word. I need someone preaching to me. And so on my iPod, on my iTunes list, there are so many great speakers, great preachers out there. Get a hold of some. If you want, tell you what I'll do. On my blog, and I'll email this out, I'll give you a list of some of the ones that I listen to if you want to add those onto your list. Get people into your head that preach the Word of God. You cannot get too much of God's Word into your head. And here's why. It's kind of like throwing mashed potatoes against the wall. Do you know what I'm talking about? If you throw mashed potatoes against the wall, it doesn't always stick. You know how you get the stick? You just keep throwing. You throw until finally something sticks. Do I remember all the sermons I listen to? No, I don't. But there are little bits that catch, little bits that I pick up, little bits that are applicable. And what you need to do is throw as much of God's Word into your life as possible. Because the more it gets into your head, the more those little pieces are going to stick, the more they're going to start making sense, and the more you're going to find out about how to continue to put the big rock of the kingdom of God in first. And when you do that, everything begins to fall into place. Let me just wrap up with this example. 2 weeks ago, actually 2 weeks tomorrow, my wife had surgery. And the day before, on her knee, which she's over here, by the way, if you didn't see us come in. She's doing wonderful. But the day before the surgery Sunday, preached a sermon for me and did a fantastic job. And so I had appreciated his message. He preached on the image of God. The very next day, and if you guys have read the newsletter, this is the story that's in the newsletter. I put it in there. But it just fits. The next day, Susie had surgery, and while she was in surgery, there's this really goofy, dorky-looking dude that came into the waiting room with his wife. And he was dorky and goofy because he just kind of looked goofy, but he was insistent upon reading all the signs in the hospital. It's at Mercy Hospital. You know how all the signs have the word, and underneath they have Braille? He's like reading all the Braille signs, and he had two perfectly good eyes, okay? So he's just kind of being a dork, you know, just walking around reading all the Braille, you know? And I just thought, that is one weird dude. And I just thought, you know, hopefully we don't have to spend a whole lot of time together, because that would be really awkward and weird because he's just nuts. So I kind of put that out of my mind because Susie was wrapping up with her surgery, and it wasn't long before I was up into the room and she was settled into her room and everything was going great. A few hours later, they tell us that we're going to have someone else in the room with us. I'm like, all right. So we get that all set up. And lo and behold, this guy and his wife are in the room right next to us. You know? And he walks in like, oh, no, you got to be kidding me. What? I'm going to be stuck with this guy for, well, it ends up being the whole night. Because his wife ends up having the same exact surgery that Susie had. Same knee, even. How weird is that? Same surgeon, same everything. And so we're up there, and this guy, and I didn't know, oh, it's even better. The guy's name is Tom, okay? How's that? How's that for a sense of humor? But as I'm sitting there, and I realize who it is, I remember Sunday's sermon. He had preached on the image of God. And he said, everyone is created in God's image. And no matter how you look at them, no matter what you think about them, God created them, and they are made in His image. And so we should cherish them. We should embrace them. No matter what's going on, we should choose them, because God chose them. They're in His image. That was the word of God that stuck with me. All right, preacher needs to hear this stuff too. And it stuck with me. I thought, you know what? That guy is in God's image. I need to love him and embrace him because he's made in God's image. Changed my attitude towards him. And it was so funny because we had our doctor's appointments on Friday. And they were there too. And so we had a nice chat. Got to know him real well. He's from Cedar Rapids. You know, good guy. So anyway, things have changed. But I say that because that's just a little, it was just one little phrase that Sunday had used and talked about in his sermon. But it stuck. And you see how that then changed my life? It reordered my rocks. Because all of a sudden, this person wasn't just a dork that I wanted to stay away from. It became someone that was made in the image of God that I wanted to embrace. But that happened because I put the Word of God into my life first. I listened to it. And if you want to change the order of rocks in your life, listen to God's Word. It's truth. And it will help you. Okay? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I ask that for each and every one of us that we would leave this building, go out into our new week, and embrace your word. Help us to study it, to love it, to get it into our minds as much as we can. Help us not to feel guilty when we put it down or we forget about it or put it off. Help us just to pick it up and get back at it, because your word can change our lives. I also pray, Father, that we would begin to examine our lives and reorder our lives so that the most important rock, your kingdom, would get into our jars first each and every day. And lastly, Father, I pray for those in this room who have never accepted Jesus as their Lord and Savior. I pray, Father, that for them, even to put any rock into their jar, it's going to start with Jesus first. And I ask that your Spirit would work in their hearts, help them to keep moving, keep taking steps closer to following Jesus, because He is the meaning and the purpose of life. Father, I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.